Have you ever gotten to a point where there's nothing else to do but just trust in God? Good. That's exactly where God wants you. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
The time will come when you go, you're limp in the water. God says, now I got you where I want you. Now I can deliver you rather than you trying to deliver yourself. But that's the place we've got to come to. That's when humility comes in, and you're not blaming the wife anymore. You're not blaming the husband anymore. You're not blaming mommy and daddy anymore. You're not blaming your ex-spouse anymore. You're not blaming the church anymore. It's me, oh God, as the old song said, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, my brother, my father. Lord, it's me. I'm the one that needs to humble myself and under your mighty hand.
Dwelling place.
Hello, and welcome to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. If you were in need of an operation, would you ever consider just saving time and money by doing it yourself? Not likely. If you're smart, you leave it up to the person who knows the procedure best, the surgeon. So why is it that mankind continues to try to do everything himself, instead of relying on the one who made us? We're continuing a series in the Psalms today, and we'll again be in Psalm 94. There are some specific ways we can offer worship today. If you have your Bible with you, please join us. Here's Al Pittman with today's study.
My wife and I, a couple of years ago, took swimming lesson. I came back from one of our trips to Hawaii, one of our favorite places to go visit. I got so mad, I thought, you know what? That's it. I can't swim, and it bothers me, you know. I mean, don't take me on as a project. I'll get there one day, but it bothers me, but we took some lessons, and the lady would say, just relax, and I'm thinking, how do you relax when you feel like you're drowning? Can you please tell me how to do that, you know? But as I tried more and more, I took the lessons, and I still can't really swim the way I want to swim, but I did kind of learn to relax and float a little bit. You have to relax. Just rest in order. You're too tense. You're too tight, like many of us sometimes, and we began to sink. Because we haven't come to that place of utter exhaustion. And I think about lifeguards, how, you know, when they go out to save somebody drowning, if that person is still fighting, they can't save them. When they come to that place of utter exhaustion, then you can be delivered. And isn't that where God has to find us? And some of you here tonight probably thinking, well, God hasn't come through for me. You're not exhausted enough. You're not exhausted. You're still fighting. You're still trying to do your own way. You know better than God. But the time will come when you go, you're limp in the water. God says, now I got you where I want you. Now I can deliver you rather than you trying to deliver yourself. But that's the place we've got to come to. That's when humility comes in, and you're not blaming the wife anymore. You're not blaming the husband anymore. You're not blaming mommy and daddy anymore. You're not blaming your ex-spouse anymore. You're not blaming the church anymore. It's me, oh God, as the old song said, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my mother, my brother, my father. Lord, it's me. I'm the one that needs to humble myself under your mighty hand. Lord, you deal with me, with my life. And when you come to that place of humility, now you're learning how to cast. But you can't cast in pride. You can't cast trying to do it yourself. You have to say, Lord, it's totally you. I can't do it. And that's when God delivers us. Here's the second thing in casting your care. I said there was two things. We cast our care in an attitude of humility, and in casting our care also means resting in God's timing. That's a tough one. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says again, it says, that he may exalt you when? In due time. Didn't say your time. Didn't say the pastor's time. Come on. Some of you are waiting for things to happen, something to pop, something to God, you know God spoke to you about something. You're waiting, but it's in his due time. And he knows what time that is. And you have to trust him. Trust in his timing rather than your own. When we cast, we've got to do it in humility. When we cast, we have to do it trusting that God will exalt us in due time, that he has his eye on the clock. He knows what time it is. In fact, the Greek word for due time is kairos, and it means an occasion, such as to set or a proper time. God has a proper time for everything. Sometimes I lament over the fact that, you know, Lord, I'm 52 years old now. Boy, if I had started pastoring this church when I was 32 or 22, you know. Oh, Lord. And God said, you weren't ready then. You weren't ready. You couldn't handle this. And there's some other things I'm going to give you down the road, but you can't handle it right now. There's a time I've set already in advance, a blessing for you that's coming your way, but you're not ready for it right now. Probably because some of us are still struggling, maybe in the water. But God has a set time for your blessing. You know that? Every one of us in here, God has a set time for your blessing. But if we are constantly squirming about in unbelief, creating one Ishmael situation after another. How many Ishmaels have you given birth to? I've given birth to a few of them. You don't remember Ishmael, he was the offspring of Abraham having relations with Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaiden. And Abraham and Sarah were promised a child from God, but Sarah was getting a little up in the age, and so they started trying to figure out how God was going to do this, tried to advance God's timing, and they decided, well, I guess God wants you to maybe have, you know, sleep with my handmaiden, and then she'll have a child for us, and that's how God's going to do it. Yay! No, God said the child would come from Sarah, but they didn't believe God because of the things they were seeing. Time is getting late, Lord. Woo! It's getting late. And so he went in and slept with Hagar, gave birth to Ishmael, and Ishmael and Isaac have been fighting ever since in the Middle East. And, you know, there's a lot of times that we've gotten ahead of God and we've given birth to Ishmaels and we try to work things out ourselves rather than wait on the Lord. And a lot of times, quite honestly, maybe we've missed the blessing God had appointed for us. But let me tell you how gracious God is. If you're feeling disappointed about that, if you feel like, oh, maybe I missed my blessing, Pastor, maybe, you know, I should just give up or whatever. Let me tell you something. The beauty about our God is that even if we have missed our blessing, he is able to work all things out for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. No matter how much time has gone by, our God is able to work all things out for good. Why do I say that? Because of what it says here in verse 14 of Psalm 94. For the Lord will not cast off his people. God has not cast you off. Regardless of how many Ishmaels you've given birth to, God will not cast off his people. He loves you with an everlasting love. Even when you don't love him, he still loves you. Even when you've forsaken his plan, he still has a plan for you. And at the moment you say, Jesus, forgive me, at the moment you say, Christ, come into my life, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, he takes all the things, the horrible things of our life, all the experiences, and he works them out for our good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. And that's the grace and the mercy of our God. So, you know, you may have missed God's proper time, but God's still able to work things out for good. In verse 15, Psalm 94, he says, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Amen. Justice will return in righteousness, justice in the land. And I would say that apart from God's instruction, mankind is without true wisdom. We cannot judge correctly apart from God. The world is just, you just sometimes listen to some of the things in the news and all, and you just realize people are idiots without God. Every time I hear about these things, you know, I'm not disappointed because people do sin, and apart from God, you know, we're just sinners, we're lost. It reminds me of the words of Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools, cutting our nose off to spite our face. As followers of Christ, we are always, for us, I mean, that's the world, and we see the world, we see the foolishness, man apart from God is lost. And we can sit here and throw stones at the world all day long, but that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Because in reality, what are we supposed to do with this? When it comes to, the word of God, when it comes to the judgment, the righteous judgment of God, I think as followers of Christ, we are always, we need to understand one thing, that we're always in danger of being deceived, exercising poor judgment when we abandon the Word of God. If you put that relationship before the Lord, before His Word, you're going to be deceived. If you put that pastor before the Word of God, you're going to be deceived. Every time you see people put, you know, I just, blows my mind when I sometimes see the documentary on television about Jim Jones and how he took those people down to Ghana and Guyana, wherever it was, and in Africa, and under the guise that they were going to have this utopian society. And I thought, didn't somebody hear him say in the congregation before they got on the plane that he was Jesus Christ? I think the Bible might say something about that. But because they abandoned the Word of God, put the Word behind them, and embraced charisma, found themselves in Africa drinking purple Kool-Aid. We must honor God's Word, because His Word enables us to not to be deceived and helps us to make right judgments. You know, sisters, if the guy's carrying a Bible, doesn't mean he's a Christian. If he comes to church with you, doesn't mean he's a Christian. Brothers, if she looks like an angel, you know, sometimes the devil comes like an angel of light. But pastor, she just makes me feel so good. We don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. Faith in God's Word, amen? So, you know, once we get away from this, we become fools. We can be fooled. Oh, not me. I've been in church. I've been to Bible college. I have a seminary degree. I have a PhD, and I don't care. You get away from this. We've seen the best of us deceived. I don't have to mention names. When we get away from this.
The key to surviving in a world of deceit is to stay in God's Word. Pastor Al will be back in a moment to bring us the second half of today's message. When you support this radio outreach, you fulfill the most important aspect of receiving from the Lord, which is passing on that encouragement to others. The Dwelling Place is sharing the gospel message throughout the land, thanks to you. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. We think we know more than God. Come on, you've done that, just like I have. We make an important decision, later realize we made a huge mistake, and then rue the fact that we didn't consult God before making that decision. With more, here's Pastor Al.
We need God's Word. It is only by His Word that we can rightly discern between the clean and the unclean. That's why pastors are to feed the flock of God His Word diligently. There's more exciting things I love to do on Wednesday night, midweek. Set up pool tables in here and, you know, a big screen TV, football season's coming. Wouldn't that be fun, you know? That appeals to my flesh. But you know what? I want the manna. Didn't we have manna last week? Yeah, we're going to have manna this week and the week after that. And when you come here a year from now, it's still going to be eating manna. That's where it's going to be, because it's God's Word. And we're going to continue to feed upon His Word. And pastors, if they're not teaching the flock the Word of God, they're going to have to answer to God for it. God dealt with the priests in the Old Testament about this. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26, God rebukes the priests of Israel for not teaching the people His Word so that they can discern, the Bible says, between the clean and the unclean. A lot of Christians walking around today, they don't know what's clean, what's unclean. I mean, in the generation coming after my generation, they know less. We need to get back to the Word of God. To the faithful priests, the Lord charges them this, however, in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23, the Lord says to His faithful priest, He says, "And they shall teach My people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the clean and the unclean." Amen. And a lot of churches have gone and telling people how to dress and all that. That's not what He's talking about. As you teach the Word of God, guess what? Sanctify them by Thy truth, Jesus said. Thy Word is truth. I have to tell people how to dress and how long your dresses need to be, and you got to wear a tie if you're really holy, all that kind of garbage. God's Word cleans us up, sanctifies us, We catch the fish. We're called to be catchers of the fish, but the Holy Spirit cleans the fish. Amen. So that's why we need to teach that word. We need God's word so that we can have righteous judgment understand what is clean and what is unclean. The Bible says here in Psalm 94, verse 15, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it, will follow the word of God. Verses 16 to 19, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, hallelujah, my soul would soon have settled in silence. I would have died. If I say my foot slips, somebody needs to underline this. Your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Folks, our defense against the evildoer is the Lord our God. He is our help, regardless of what wicked men do in our country and around the world. The Lord is our help. Unless the Lord had been my help, where would I be tonight? But God has been my helper. He's been your helper. He is our strength. All of us could testify to that very fact. God has proven himself to be a present help God. Amen. Present help in time of need. Psalm 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's a present help God. He's there with you right now in the midst of your situation. His help consists of two essential things, that is mercy and comfort. I love that. Verses 18 and 19 here, it says, Lord, you know, your mercy will hold me up. And even in the multitude of my anxieties, your comforts, plural, delight my soul. So when God comes to help us, he brings a good helping of mercy and comfort. I love that. When we slip, mercy catches us. When a multitude of anxieties, panic attack happens. You know, I don't know. Oh, boy. And I have those sometimes. When they strike us, his comforts delight our soul. Verses 20 to 23, we move on here. Verse 20, shall the throne of iniquity, the throne of the wicked, which devise evil by law. Boy, we see a lot of that today. Shall it have fellowship with you, Lord God? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense, my God, the rock of my refuge. Rock of my refuge, verse 23, he has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord, our God, shall cut them off. Going back to his request in verse 1. For vengeance. God, you'll deal with it. There can only be one throne that we bow to. There can be only one throne because there's only one king. It's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Shall the throne of God exist with those who work iniquity? Of course not. The Bible says that we cannot serve two masters. Luke 16, 13. Nor are we to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. I didn't say you couldn't have fellowship with people who weren't believers. But you can have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Hey, I can hang out with you, man, and be cool with you and all that. But, you know, when you want to go over here and check out this stuff and that stuff and do some other things, no, I haven't. I'll see you later. See you tomorrow. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The Lord is our defense. In essence, the psalmist is saying here, he's our rock, not the throne. He's our rock and not the throne, rather, of the world, the wicked. We don't go to them for our answers. We go to God because he is our rock. He is our counsel. He is our authority. And so he ends the psalm with these words. And quite honestly, verse 21 is a great, verse 21 says, they gather together against the life of the righteous. Boy, we see a lot of that. I already kind of alluded to that earlier, but just the legislation and all the other things that are coming down just seems to try to be against the righteous. And it's getting so bad, folks, that one day I believe it will be against the law to speak, to preach the truth about homosexuality in this country. But let it come. Let it come. Because no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we're going to continue to be preaching here. So all y'all get ready to get arrested. Because I believe that day is coming. And I know we're sitting here laughing. We're thinking, oh, yeah, Pastor, yeah, probably 40 years from now. Hey, I think it's maybe sooner than we think. It's already happening in Canada. And it says here that they're against the righteous and they condemn innocent blood. I think that speaks of abortion. Children that are condemned before they're even born. Listen, I always want to say this because I know that in the audience's size, there may be someone here who's had an abortion. You need to understand that all sin is forgivable. You need to understand that God doesn't condemn you for that. And don't you let the devil condemn you over that if you're a believer. But the Bible says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we recognize, Lord, that we've sinned. We recognize, Lord, that it was a wrong decision. But God's able to redeem you. And you know what? You've got a child probably in heaven waiting to see you. Because he is the author of life. And that life has gone on with the Lord. So don't let the enemy beat you up over that kind of stuff. But this is what the wicked does. What they promote, rather, is their attacks against the righteous. And they condemn innocent blood. Here's the take home for you tonight. You can put this in your brown paper bag and have it for lunch tomorrow. But you could say, in the face of ever-increasing wickedness, this is the lesson here, I think, in the face of ever-increasing wickedness, we can walk in the blessing, the rest, the discernment, the mercy, and the comfort of God. And all those we've just gone over in this particular psalm. All those things belong to us, despite what's going on, despite the fact that, Lord, I love to see vengeance, despite that our spiritual trouble because of the wicked abounding, all these things, that God wants us to rest in blessing and to be at rest in him, to walk in discernment, to embrace his mercy and his comfort for us so that we can continue on in him each and every day. And he gives us those blessings on the condition that we will yield to his instruction and his teaching that is through his word. That's verse 12. The remainder of verse 12 where it says, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O God, and you teach according to your word or your law. That's the condition. We can't have blessing and rest and discernment and mercy and comfort if we're not willing to keep his word and be instructed by the Lord. We're not willing for God to get in our business and tell us we're wrong and to lead and guide and to instruct us in the way of righteousness. If we won't do that, if we're unwilling to do that, we forfeit all these other things. Self. Regardless of all the wickedness around us and everything else, here's the bottom line. Self, not the world, is often the barrier that we must overcome.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can listen, watch, or download with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're there checking our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. We're excited to announce that our Calvary Worship Center online store is now available at cwccs.org. You can order shirts, Pastor Al's books, music, and more. Every purchase goes back into the ministry to further the gospel and help support this radio ministry. Just go to our website at cwccs.org and click on the store tab and make your purchase today. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman. Presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Dwelling Place.